Leiden und von Pein. So toll sie wird dir klappen und kritzen mit die Zehn.
Hello, I'm Adrian Iosifescu, your host of the History of the Romanian Jews podcast, and this is episode 25, where we'll be discussing one of the most powerful women communists, the Romanian Jew, Anna Pauker. By the way, you just listened to the Yiddish anti-fascist song Niskot Lied, or Victory Song. A link to the full video is provided in the notes. Anna Pauker bore Hanna Robinson, was a Romanian communist senior leader and served as the country's foreign minister in the late 1940s and early 1950s. Anna Pauker became the world's first female foreign minister when entering office in December 1947. She was also the unofficial leader of the Romanian Communist Party immediately after the World War II. Pauker was born on February 13, 1893, into a poor religious Orthodox Jewish family in Codoești, Vaslui County, in central Moldova, the daughter of Sara and Zvi Hirsch Kaufmann Robinson. Her father was a traditional slaughterer and synagogue functionary, her mother a small-time food seller. As a young woman, Pauker became a teacher in a Jewish elementary school in Bucharest. While her younger brother was a Zionist and remained religious, she opted for socialism, joining the Social Democratic Party of Romania in 1915, and then its successor, the Socialist Party of Romania, in 1918. She was active in the pro-Bolshevik faction of the group, the one that took control after the party's congress of May 1921, and joined the Comintern under the name of Socialist Communist Party, Future Communist Party of Romania. She attended medical school in Switzerland for a period beginning in 1915, and there she met and married Marcel Pauker, a fellow Romanian student in 1921, from whom she actually divorced in 1930. They had three children, Tanio, Vlad, and Tatiana. Though it was long alleged that she denounced the father of her three children as a Trotskyist, Comintern archival documents reveal, however, that she repeatedly refused to do so. Anna Pauker had a fourth child, Masha, fathered by the Czech Jewish communist Eugen Fried. Masha was born in Moscow and was raised in France by her father. Finally, Pauker adopted a fifth child, Alexandru, in the late 1940s. The Romanian Communist Party has been declared an illegal organization and driven underground on April 1924. It was under firm Soviet control in the 1930s, a period in which was also the target of effective police suppression. At the party's peak around 1936, it probably had about 5,000 members. In 1944, on the eve of its taking power, its membership may have numbered only 1,000. Anna and her husband, Marcel Pauker, were arrested in 1923 and again in 1924 for their political activities and eventually sent into exile. They first went to Berlin, Paris, and then Vienna in 1927. In 1928, Pauker moved to Moscow to join the Comintern's International Lenin School, which trained senior communist functionaries. In Moscow, she became closely associated with Dmitry Manuisky, the Kremlin's foremost representative at the Comintern in 1930s. From Moscow, Anna went to France, where she became an instructor for the Comintern, being also involved in the communist movement elsewhere in the Balkans. Upon returning to Romania in 1935, she was again arrested and shot in both legs when she tried to flee. Anna Pauker was the chief defendant in a widely publicized trial with other leading communists and was sentenced to 10 years in prison. In May 1941, the Romanian government sent her into exile again to the Soviet Union in exchange for Ion Codreanu, a former member of Sfatul Țării, the parliament of Bessarabia, who voted for the union with Romania on March 1918 and who was detained by the Soviets after their occupation of Bessarabia in 1940. In the meantime, Anna's husband has fallen victim to the Soviet Great Purge in 1938. The next several years found her in Moscow, where she played the role of propagandist for her native country, Romania. Her broadcasts in Romanian over Radio Moscow were directed to her countrymen at home. She also helped to organize a Romanian division to serve in the Soviet army, drawn from Romanians serving with the Germans whom the Soviets had captured. Despite later claims by Gheorghe Gheorghiu Deș, the communists played no role in wartime Romania. Thus, the party lacked the prestige of its counterpart in Yugoslavia. There, Josef Tito could claim the communists had become a legitimate and significant force due to its leadership of the anti-Nazi resistance movement. Some of the Romanian party's main figures, like Gheorghe Gheorghiu Deș, have been imprisoned since the mid-1930s. Most Romanian communist leaders, including Anna Pauker, had been in exile in the Soviet Union. When Vasile Luca, Constantin Pârvulescu, Lucrețiu Pătrășcanu, Anna Pauker, Teohare Georgescu, Florica Bagdasar, and Gheorghe Vasilichi attended the Romanian Communist Party meeting in Moscow, Anna Pauker became the leader of the Romanian communist exiles, who later on became known as the Moscovite faction. She returned to Romania in 1944 when the Red Army entered the country, becoming a member of the post-war government, which came to be dominated by the communists. In November 1947, the non-communist foreign minister Gheorghe Tătărescu was ousted and replaced by Anna Pauker, making her the first woman in the modern world to hold such a post. Although she declined to become the general secretary of the Romanian Communist Party because she was a woman, Jewish, and an intellectual, and had instead proposed the Romanian worker Gheorghe Gheorghiu Deș for the job instead, Pauker formally held the number two position in the party leadership and was a member of the four-person secretariat of the Central Committee. Arguably, the Jewish woman who achieved the most political power in the 20th century, Anna Pauker is widely believed to have been the actual leader of the Romanian communists in all but name during the immediate post-war period. In 1948, Time magazine featured her portrait on its cover and described her as the most powerful woman alive at that time. Infamous as the Iron Lady of the Romanian communist politics, she was universally seen as unreservedly Stalinist and as Moscow's agent in Romania. Her fanatical subservience to Moscow, one observer noted, was not only undisputed, it was legendary. Anna Pauker played a key role in forcing King Michael, the hero of the coup in August 1944, into exile. The young monarch traveled to Britain for a royal wedding in late 1947, and he returned to Romania after announcing his own forthcoming marriage to Princess Anne of Bourbon-Parma. The Romanian foreign minister took the lead in opposing the marriage. The excuse she gave was the financial strain it would place on Romania. It seems that the real objection was the fear that it would rally popular enthusiasm behind the king. By early 1948, Michael had been forced to abdicate. In February 1948, Romania signed a treaty tying its interests to those of the Soviet Union. In March, a new constitution turned the country into the Romanian People's Republic. Anna Pauker played a pivotal role in the imposition of communism in Romania. At the same time, she emerged as a force for moderation within the Romanian communist leadership during the early post-war period. Pauker was certainly complicit in the extensive purges and arrests in 1945 of tens of thousands of Romanians who were linked to the fascist Ion Antonescu regime. Yet, by August 1945, Paucăr and Interior Minister Teohari Georgescu released all by 2,000 to 3,000 of those arrested, offering amnesty to any member of the fascist Iron Guard who had not committed serious crimes and who would turn in his weapons. In late 1944 and early 1945, she pushed for the creation of a more broad-based coalition with the National Peasants' Party and the National Liberal Party, but was overruled by Joseph Stalin. Hence, the communist-led government created in March 1945 comprised a more restrictive coalition with a faction of the National Liberals led by George Tătărescu. During the same period, Anna pursued what she described later as a type of social democratic policy of mass recruitment of as many as 500,000 new Communist Party members without strict verification, including many former members of the Iron Guard. This policy would be later subject of an attack on Paucăr during her purge and was quickly reversed. Many of those who entered the party during Paucăr's mass recruitment campaign would be later purged between 1948 and 1950, and mass arrests would return with a vengeance in 1947, including members of the National Peasants' Party and the National Liberal Party, as well as the amnestied member of the Iron Guard. Although she acceded to Soviet orders to arrest the leaders of the non-communist opposition, Paucăr reportedly opposed the arrest of prominent National Party's officials like Corneliu Căposu and Ghiță Pop, and appeal for the presiding judge on the trial of National Peasants Party leader Iuli Maniu for leniency in his sentencing. Reviewing her record during the early post-war years, the historian Norman Neimac observed that Paucăr's policies in the period 1945-1948 are remarkably similar to those of the Polish leader Władysław Gomułka. She encouraged coalitions with the historical parties, urged compromises with bourgeois politicians, and thought to deflect the persecution of social democrats and liberals. These contradictions would intensify as the regime became more Stalinist under Cold War pressures from 1947 on. Anna Paucăr was a steel and tested Stalinist who was fanatically loyal to Stalin and the Soviet Union, who once admitted that if a Soviet official told me something, it was the gospel for me. If they had told me that the USSR needed it, I would have done it. If they have told me to throw myself into the fire, I would have done it. Nevertheless, Paucăr paradoxically promoted a number of policies counter to those of the Kremlin during the Cominform period of the High Stalinism, when the Soviet Union imposed a single hegemonic line on all its satellites. In 1948, she opposed the verification and purge of the large number of members who entered the Communist Party during the mass recruitment campaign, even though the Cominform had ordered such a verification in every country of the bloc. In 1949, she opposed the construction of the Danube-Black Sea Canal, even though, according to her own testimony, Stalin had personally proposed the project. In 1949-52, she opposed the purging of the Romanian veterans of the Spanish Civil War and French Resistance as part of Moscow's bloc-wide campaign against Josef Broz Tito, or, at the very least, took no part in their repression as they were not purged en masse in Romania until a few months after Paucăr's downfall. And she was reported by colleagues and associates to have resisted Stalin's plan to have Justice Minister Lucrețiu Pătrășcanu put on trial, and was accused by the Securitate's chief Soviet advisor of having sabotaged and postponed investigations in the Pătrășcanu case. What was remarkable was that Anna Pauker supported and helped facilitate the emigration of roughly 100,000 Jews from Romania to Israel, among them Anna's parents and her brother, between the spring of 1950 and 1952, when all other Soviet satellites had shut their gates to Jewish emigration, and as Stalin's policies regarding population control and strict restrictions on emigration and travel were increasingly tight. Now, the actual Aliyah of the Romanian Jews was conducted via the so-called Shaky Dan channel. If you recall from episode 22 of this podcast, a couple of Jews parachuted in Romania during the Second World War, stayed in Bucharest after the war to help with emigration. One of them was Shaky Dan. Anna Pauker was heavily involved in all discussions concerning the Romanian policy towards Israel. Fact confirmed by documents recently found concerning Romanian-Israeli relations. The People's Republic of Romania cultivated close ties of friendship with the Israeli Communist Party. These two communist parties were led by the Kremlin, as the Israeli Communist Party was formed of the initiative of the Soviet leaders who approved the emigration of certain Jewish communists sent to build a strong communist party in Israel. But this party showed from beginnings a lack of viability. So the Soviet strategy changed to blaming Zionists, those coming in contradiction with all Israeli parties and with the tradition of building the Israel national state with major contributions from Zionist organizations. Important leaders of the Israeli Communist Party were invited to specialization in Romania in 1949. Documents of the collection Romania-Israel describe different situations of the Romanian-Israel relations. Pauker enjoyed a great prestige in Israel. The Israeli Foreign Minister Moshe Sharet called her an exceptional woman. She was always informed of developments in the Romanian-Israeli relations during her stay at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. The ad interim president of Israel, Spintsak, acknowledged to the Romanian diplomats the role played by the Romanian Jews to building the State of Israel. Eventually, the Romanian communist government, following Soviet Union's model, started cracking on Zionism among the country's Jewish population. As Anna's father and brother were in Israel at that time, the Israeli Prime Minister David Ben-Gurion attacked her in burning words. Anna Pauker, the daughter of a rabbi, he said, is preventing her own people from returning to the promised land. Over the next several years, while she continued to serve as a foreign minister, the Romanian authorities became more brutal in their treatment of the country's Jewish population and in their verbal assaults on the Israeli government. In 1952, the Jewish emigration to Israel was forbidden to the Romanian Jews. Anna Pauker firmly opposed the forced peasant collectivizations that were carried out on Moscow's orders in the summer of 1950 while she was in a Kremlin hospital undergoing treatment for breast cancer. Angrily condemning such coercion as absolutely opposed to the line of our party and absolutely opposed to any serious communist thought, she allowed peasants forced into collective farms to return to private farming and effectively halted additional collectivization throughout 1951. This, as well as her support beginning in 1947 for higher prices for agriculture products, in defiance of her Soviet advisors, along with her favoring the integration of kulaks into the emerging socialist order, led Stalin to charge that Pauker had faithfully deviated into peasantist, non-Marxist policies. Pauker's Moscow faction was opposed internally by the prison faction, most of whom had spent the fascist period in Romanian prisons, particularly in the Doftana prison. Gheorghe Gheorghiu Deș, the de facto leader of the prison faction, has supported intensified agriculture collectivization, pushed for Lucrețiu Pătrășcanu's trial and execution, and was a rigid Stalinist. However, he resented some strains of Soviet influence, which would become clear at the time of the destalinization, when, as leader of communist Romania, he was a determined opponent of Nikita Khrushchev. Gheorghe Gheorghiu Deș profited from the anti-Semitism in Stalinist policies, closely linked to Joseph Stalin's increased paranoia, actively lobbying Stalin to take action against the Pauker faction. Gheorghe Gheorghiu Deș traveled to Moscow in August 1951 to seek Stalin's approval to purging Pauker and his allies in the Secretariat, Vasile Luca and Teohari Georgescu. But archival evidence had led the historian Vladimir Tismananu to conclude that Anna Pauker's downfall did not occur merely or even primarily because of Gheorghiu Deș's skillful maneuvering, as some Romanian novels published in the 1980s would have us believe, but foremost because of Stalin's decision to initiate a major political purge in Romania. Anna Pauker, Luca and Georgescu were purged in May 1952, consolidating Gheorghiu Deș's own grip over country and party. The charges against Anna Pauker increasingly focused on her position on Zionism and Israel. She was accused of supporting the subversive and the espionage activities of the Israeli legation and of the Zionists in the country, of making secret commitments to Israeli diplomats, or displaying a nationalist attitude on the immigration of Jews to Israel, and of divulging secrets to the enemy, the United States, through its principal agent, International Zionism. Anna Pauker was arrested on February 18, 1953, and subjected to tightened interrogations and a soft form of torture in preparation for a show trial, as had occurred with Rudolf Slansky and others in the Prague trials. After Stalin's death in March 1953, she was freed from jail and put under house arrest instead, the result of the direct intervention of Vyacheslav Molotov, who reportedly acted on the insistence of his wife, Polina Zemchuzina, a friend of Pauker's and herself freed from prison soon after Stalin's death. When another party leader informed Pauker of Stalin's death, she burst into tears, prompting her colleague to quip, "Don't cry. If Stalin were still alive, you would be dead." Following the 20th Party Congress in Moscow, there were fears that Khrushchev might force the Romanian party to rehabilitate Pauker and possibly install her as Romanian's new leader. Gheorghiu Deș went to accuse her, Vasile Luca and Teohari Georgescu, for their alleged Stalinist excesses in the late 1940s and early 1950s. The period when all four were in power was marked by political persecution and the murder of opponents, such as the infamous brainwashing experiments conducted at Pitești prison in 1949, between 1949 and 1952. Gheorghe Gheorghiu Deș, who had as much to account for, used moments like these to ensure the survival of his policies in a post-Stalinist age. In 1956, Pauker was summoned for questioning by a high-level party commission, which insisted that she acknowledge her guilt. Again, she claimed she was innocent and demanded that she be reinstated as a party member without success. During her forced retirement, Pauker was allowed to work as a translator from French and German for the Editura Politica, the publishing house of the Communist Party. In the spring of 1959, Pauker was diagnosed with a terminal recurrence of cancer. She died in June 1960 of cardiac arrest after the cancer had spread to her heart and lungs. Anna Pauker was recast by Romanian leaders in the official Communist Party history as having been a staunch ultra-Orthodox Stalinist, even though she had opposed or had attempted to moderate a number of Stalinist policies while she was in a leadership position. And as the historian Robert Levy concluded, no other communist leader save Tito have been shown to have resisted the Soviet-imposed line during the Cominform period of high Stalinism as Pauke did, whether on collectivization, the fight against the kulaks, the urban bourgeoisie, the persecution of Lucrețiu Pătășcanu, the purge of the Spanish Civil War and French Resistance veterans, the dimensions of the five-year plan, the staging of a show trial of Romanian Zionists, or the facilitation of mass Jewish emigration. Anna Pauker's career retained its significance long after her fall from power. Romania became one of the most independently minded of the Soviet satellite states in Eastern Europe by early 1960s. Its leaders found it increasingly useful to resurrect Pauker as a symbol of Soviet domination they now challenge. Thus, she was the target of intense criticism by the victorious Gheorghiu Dej at the party gathering in late November and early December 1961. He resurrected the issue of Pauker's alleged errors in the summer of 1944. The successful Romanian leader claimed that Pauker had no role in the coup that overthrew Antonescu's dictatorship, whereas he, Gheorghiu Dej, and other communists in Romania had stood at the center of this important event. Meanwhile, Pauker and the communists located in Soviet Union had allegedly looked to the Soviet army to bring communism to power. After Gheorghe Gheorghiu Dej's death in 1965, his successor, Nicolae Ceaușescu, continued this campaign. Though Pauker was identified with Soviet interest at a time when later Romanian leaders wanted to claim a closer link to non-communist elements and to downplay the Russian role in bringing communists to power in Romania. Anna Pauker's legacy in Romania today is still tainted by the attempt of ruling party propagandists of the 1950s and 60s to scapegoat her as the leader responsible for the crimes of the early communist period. For instance, she is often referred to in Romania as Stalinus Kurtz. The Romanian film director Radu Gabrea, who completed a feature-length documentary on Pauker in 2016, suggests that this demonizing of Pauker is only possible because Pauker was a woman and of Jewish origin, and that it reflects the widespread anti-Semitism in Romania. As historian Robert Levy put it, long the party's propagandist scapegoat as the source of all the horrors of the Stalinist period, Anna Pauker continues to be vilified in the post-communist Romania as the party leader most culpable for the post-war years and its repression. But the truth is that this perpetually contradictory figure, through a Stalinist herself and one who played a key role in opposing communism in Romania, paradoxically presented an alternative to the rigid, harsh Stalinism that soon emblemized Romania's party life and left a hidden legacy as a persistent patron of Romanian peasantry within the communist hierarchy. The fall of Anna Pauker was a significant step in a process that precluded any reformist leadership from prevailing in Romania and fated its citizens to endure the extreme hardship that would culminate in Ceaușescu's regime. I always liked the Romanian sense of humor. There were numerous jokes and anecdotes that circulated in the 1950s about Anna Pauker, the most powerful woman in Romania during the early years of communism. I would like to share some of them with you. It is said that Anna Pauker fell into a river and three people jumped to her aid and saved her from drowning. Grateful, she told them that she would grant each of them a wish. The first asked for her to arrange things between him and the party so that the communists would no longer have suspicions about him. The second asked for a raise, and the third begged her not to tell anyone that he had saved her life. Anna Pauke heard that postage stamps with her portrait were not selling well at all, so she went to a post office in person to see how things were going. The clerk told her that people were complaining that the stamps with Pauke on them wouldn't stick. Anna spat on the back of one of the stamps and then placed it on an envelope. "Look, it sticks perfectly." "Yes," the clerk replied, "but people always spit on the front of the stamp." Anna Pauke was seen walking through Bucharest on a sunny day carrying an open umbrella over her head. A passerby approached her and said, "Comrade, it's not raining here." "I know," she replied, "but it's raining in Moscow." A Romanian Jew sacrificed a million lei, the Romanian currency, and managed to obtain a passport to leave for Israel. At the border, he was searched. "What is this?" he was asked by the customs officer, pointing to a small box of medicine. "These are the pills for my headaches," came the timid reply. "And this?" the officer asked, pointing to another box. "It is anti-nausea medicine." The officer continued to check the man's luggage and discover a portrait of Anna Pauke. "What is this?" he asked suspiciously. "Oh, it's just a remedy for homesickness." The final one. A foreign guest was received in audience at the foreign ministry headed by Anna Pauke and was told to wait for her for a while. He noticed a completely unusual telephone on the desk. It only had a receiver through which he could hear the speaker on the other end of the phone, but the microphone was missing. He then asked Anna Pauke's secretary what the device was. "Oh, it's our only direct line to the Kremlin," he was told. This concludes our episode on Anna Pauke. Until next podcast episode, be well.